and I won't keep you long this morning. Over the last few weeks, I've been teaching a little bit on the high priestly ministry of Jesus. And although we finished that teaching, and I finished it last time, just want to continue looking at something that the writer to the Hebrews goes on to say next. And if we go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Because the writer to the Hebrews, he spent 4 or 5 chapters just dealing with the high priestly ministry of Jesus and a little bit, quite a lot of that ministry, and looking at the everything we looked at, this better, all based on this better sacrifice. And he goes on to make a point in verse 35, because he's continuing that. He says, therefore, and you know what we say when we see the word therefore? We have to look to find out why it's there, what it's there for. It's always tied to what's previously said. And because he's just finished talking about the high priestly ministry of Jesus, he says, therefore, he says, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So let's just stop there. So here the writer, on the back of what he's just been teaching and saying about the high priestly ministry of Jesus, he says, therefore, he says, don't cast away your confidence. You know, don't lose your hope. There's great reward in your hopeful confidence. And we read there, he's talking about living by faith. Now, was it a couple of weeks ago we were looking at this, when we were looking at the high priestly ministry of Jesus, we said in verse 22, we can just go back to 22. Because in this chapter, this verse is talking about us going into with boldness into the most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. And he says in verse 22, he says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Then he says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Now you'll know we talked to that and we looked at that previously. But here, he goes on in verse 35, he says, don't cast away your confidence. Don't cast away holding on to that confession of your hope. You know, don't brush it aside, don't put it away. He says, keep on keeping on doing what you know is right to do. He says, don't cast away, because there is great reward in your confidence, in your hope. And he goes on, he says, the just will live by their faith, or just will live by faith. What is faith? There's a question for us, this one we're going to look at a little bit in these few moments we have. The Greek word that's used and employed in this chapter for faith is, now whether my pronunciation of it is correct, I don't know, but I'm no Greek scholar, but I do have some good Greek lexicons and word books at home, which enable me to look them up. So the pronunciation, as far as I'm concerned, is this. It's the word pistis. P-I-S-T-I-S. And this word here, which is used for faith, means, obviously, it means faith. It means a belief, a trust, or a confidence and reliance on God. Other translations or other definitions given for that word is adherence, persuasion, and this one, which I read from, found in Strong's concordance, is a constancy in profession. faith, a constancy in profession. That's what we were talking about. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, or the profession of our faith. Let's hold fast to it. You know, let's not cast it away, because we are going to live by that profession of our faith. That's what we live by. Now, in this next chapter, because you know what, as I've explained to you previously time and time again, when this book was written, there were no chapter breaks, there were no verse breaks. We have done that, or the translators have put those in, purely for our own reference. So when the writer was writing this, he's writing there about not casting away your confidence, which has great reward. And he just continues that into chapter 11, because he starts verse 1 of chapter 11. He says, now faith is. Here is the definition of faith. Faith is, or is what faith is. Because a lot of people say, we say, what's faith? Well, it's a system of beliefs. We say we belong to the Christian faith. Others might say they belong to the Muslim faith or the Buddhist faith. We label all these religions and we give them the word faith. But that's not what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Faith is something that is tangible. It's substance. It has foundation. That's what that word substance means. To have foundation. To have a solid, concrete base. Now, a lot of people say, well, faith is just, they describe it as some sort of like airy, fairy... something that's just in the air. Or you've got to just have it, just got to believe. But faith is something that has substance, it has foundation. And the writer goes on in this chapter to list men and women who, through faith, through their confidence, through their assurance, through their constancy in their profession, did things for God, and which had an effect on them and their generation that they lived in. He goes on, he tells people like Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and the list goes on through chapter 11. And again, we don't have the time this morning to look at those. But I want to just, before we go, let's go back into chapter 10, please, Gerald, for me. Verse 38. Because I just want to, I've just skipped over an important point that we need to make when it talks about faith and our holding fast our confession and not casting it away. Because it says in verse 36, first it says, you have need of endurance. You've got to have that enduring persistence. It's no good just quitting and giving up. You know, when you stand in faith for something, it's tough. When you've got to constantly profess and believe God and you don't see the manifestation, it's tough. It's hard. Now, if it was the case where let's be honest, we all like to do this. We want to pray and see an instant result. Now, we might... I believe there are times when that will happen for us. Where we're praying for something and you just see an instant miracle or an instant answer to prayer. But the majority of the time, it requires us to stand in faith, to pray, to believe, to trust, to continually confess on the will of God, you may receive the promise. Now, look at verse 38, it says, now the just shall live by faith. But here's a warning. If anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We don't please God when we shrink back in faith. We say, because actually when we shrink back, we say, oh, well, I don't really know. Actually, we get into the area of doubt and unbelief. The just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, and it's when you draw back, it's that drawing back through fear, through you're maybe afraid of what people will say, what others might think. You're afraid of what will happen, and this is a common, what will happen if the answer doesn't come? Well, then you're not in faith. You're in doubt, you're in fear, you're in unbelief. And actually, because what we have been looking at over the last few weeks, we can connect the two. When we actually shrink back in faith, what we're actually doing is devaluing the blood sacrifice of Jesus. Because it's all connected, because that's what the writer's been talking about, that blood sacrifice. We're devaluing that blood sacrifice, and we read it a couple of weeks ago, where it says about trampling the blood and the Son of God underfoot. But let's go back to verses 19 and 20. We're still in chapter 10, verses 19 and 20, let's just read those. Because it says there, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Now that's what we're talking about. It's the blood. It's through the blood sacrifice that we enter into that most holy place. We come with boldness. We come with confidence. We come with that confident expectation, based on what Jesus has done for us. So if we're drawing back, we're shrinking back, we're not coming confidently, but we're actually saying that the blood of Jesus isn't good enough. The sacrifice isn't good enough, because we've got our own way, a better way, maybe. Now, I had this argument with a friend of mine, quite a few years, it was an argument. We just had it wasn't really an argument, it was just a discussion we were having. There were three of us getting together, and we were just talking, and we're all pastors and preachers, and we came to the conclusion after our debate that there was, and I say we came to the conclusion, this is what the scripture says anyway, but one of them that we would need to sort of keep coming to the Lord about. And we were arguing with him. This is from the past, from his background. And we came to, well, actually, what you're telling us then, based on that statement, is that when you were born again, the blood of Jesus wasn't sufficient to cleanse every sin. And we were just talking like that. And we saw it, and we came to a conclusion at the end of it. But the blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin. All sin.
Amen.
Doesn't mean it doesn't leave something undealt with from our history that we need to bring to him again. You know, the blood of Jesus was a once-for-all sacrifice.
Amen.
We've looked at it previously. And when we shrink back, we're devaluing that sacrifice that was made. But then he says, the just shall live by faith. So faith is the substance, we've said, of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. We all know verse 6, we perhaps know it off by heart, where it says, without faith it's impossible to please God. We're in chapter 11 now, Gerald. Without faith it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Now, again, I'm not going to take the time this morning, because time will run out on me, to talk about that. I believe it's more than just believing in the existence of God. And I've got a whole teaching, which I've got called the isness of God. I believe in that, in the isness, that God is who he says he is. That God is what he says he is. And now most translations And I'm not saying it's a wrong translation. It's not an erroneous translation, because that's what this word means. It means to exist. But there's got to be more. You've got to believe more than just the existence of God. The man on the street might believe in the existence of God, but you've got to have a personal application there. Do you believe in God? You can ask anybody, particularly in this nation. Do you believe in God? And they will say yes. But that's as far as it goes. They might go to church every week. They might say, make their confessions and go to their masses. But that's as far as their faith extends. We've got to believe that God is who he says he is. We've got to believe that God is what he says he is. He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. He is our Deliverer. He is our provider. He's the one that will work miracles on our behalf. He's the one that will blow a way through the Red Sea when there's no way for us.
Amen.
That's who our God is. And more. And the Word shows us who God is and what he is. But we've got to believe, we've got to have faith in who he is. But then verse 6 goes on and adds something to it, which ties in with the verse we started off with in verse chapter 10. It says that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We read in verse 35. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, a lot of people don't like that. They don't like to be to talk like that, that God will reward them. But that's what the scripture says. God is a rewarder of those who seek him. That's why we have confidence in him. That's why we if we don't believe God's going to reward us, why are we praying? Why pray if you don't believe God's going to answer the prayer and reward and give you what you're asking for? You might as well not bother. Because our world, and I'll finish with this, because this goes in with what we have been talking about this morning already. It's verse 11, chapter 11. Let's go back to the beginning of chapter 11, verse 1. Because I'm jumping all over at the moment. And those of you who know me know that's not usually my style, to go backwards and forwards like that. First one. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, I've heard a lot of people, and even myself, in times gone by, I used to say, and I used to preach this and proclaim this, but I've since changed my viewpoint, that the world was made out of nothing. That's not what the scripture says. That's what we grew up to believe, that's what we were taught, that God created everything we see out of nothing. No, that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says the worlds were created out of things which are not visible. That means they were created out of something, but we just can't see it. But by faith, we can see it. We see it through faith. We understand through faith that the worlds were framed by the word of God. God spoke his word, and the world came into order. We read it in Genesis 1. He spoke his word. Now when God commands and says, light be. Now he knew what light was. It couldn't be seen. But when he spoke it, he says, light be. Or let there be light. Suddenly it became visible. And it's the same with everything. When God spoke, and the world and the planet and the trees, the bushes, the shrubs, the animals, you and me, spoke us into existence. This word worlds here, although we can take it as the physical world and the universe and the things that we can see, the word world here, actually the Greek word here is the word ages. The ages. And the word of God is, the ages are framed by the word of God. Our world, our system, our age, where we live, our sphere that we live in. Now for you, your sphere will be different to my sphere. Where I live, and the life that I live is different to the life that you live. But they're all framed by the word of God. That's why it's important that we keep our confession, we keep our profession. That we don't cast away our confidence, because there's great reward, there is life, there is God's leading. I just want to finish this morning with a few other scriptures from, from Hebrews, and then we're going to go to the book of Romans. Because I want to let you know that if the word of God can frame the world, it can frame your world as well. It's important to keep the confession of our faith. We know Romans tells us that faith comes when we hear the word of God. Romans 10:17 tells us that. Faith comes when we hear. Not just when we hear it, but when we hear it, and when we hear it. And when we hear it. And again, when we hear it. You know, the more we hear, the more our faith is established. Why I believe it's good. I don't do it all the time, but I do like to frequently, is to read the scriptures out loud. Why? Because when I speak the words that I'm reading, my ears hear what I'm saying. And when my ears hear what I'm saying, faith comes by hearing. Now you can read the word of God like you read a book. And you can go through and read it quite quickly, chapter after chapter. But does it benefit? Well, it might a little. But when you read it, and that's where the word meditation comes in. Again, the word meditation is not to just consciously think. It's to mutter, to put something in your mouth, to mutter. When we constantly go over, we're putting God's word in our mouth, and we're going over it, and we're like we're feeding on it. We're going over it, a little bit like the animal that chews the cud over. And we draw from it, and we take from it, and we allow God to minister to us from it. That's when faith comes. And that faith gives us confidence and assurance that God will bring the word that we're believing to pass. Let's go back to that scripture in Hebrews 10. This is verse 23. We've already read it this morning. But again, I'm just going to read it to you in the New King James, and I'm going to read it to you again in the Amplified Translation. It says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. You know what wavering is? It's not waving. Wavering is a little bit like the oceans and the sea, where you're up and down, changing your mind, back and forwards. It's that, like the metronome or the pendulum on the clock. It's backwards and forwards. From yes to no. Yes to no. It's one day it's fantastic, the next day it's not so good. You're up and down. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. If we're going to say something, let's continue to say it. Let's not say, the Lord's my Saviour today, but tomorrow, no, the Lord couldn't save a chicken in distress, or something like that. Let's wave it backwards and forwards. Oh, the Lord's my healer today. Tomorrow, He's putting sickness on me. That's wavering. We've got to keep a constant confession, because it's that confession that brings our reward. So let me just read that verse to you in the Amplified. That's what I was going to do. It says, let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess and our acknowledgement of it. Sorry, I put a breath in there where there shouldn't have been a breath. Let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess and our acknowledgement of it. For He who promised is reliable, sure, and faithful to His word. You know, God is faithful. He will bring it to pass. That's what Abraham believed. So let's look at what Abraham believed in Romans chapter 4. And we're going to finish with this, I promise you. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. Because all of this comes on the back of what we've been teaching on the high priestly ministry of Jesus. Because the writer started off, therefore, don't cast away your confidence. So Romans 4, verse 20 says this. Talking about Abraham. He did not waver. There's that word waver again. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Does that sound like someone who's one day up, next day down? He's fully convinced that what God's promised him, God is going to honor. God is going to keep. God is going to perform His word. And it says, goes on and says, verse 22, it says, therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for who?
Us.
You and me. I've got that in my Bible. I've got the word me written there. It was also for me, for you, for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in Him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now faith is substance. It's something tangible. It's faith. It's the foundation of our hope. It's the Word of God. That's what our faith is built on. Faith comes by the Word of God. So we just got to be fully convinced that what God has promised us, He will perform. That's what Jesus is doing for us right now. He's waiting for our profession, our confession of our faith, what we believe, so that He can go to the Father. And what we believe, we put down, we say it's, we might label it prayer, we might label it confession, whatever we label that as. When we go to Jesus, we go to the Father in Jesus' name with our confession, with our profession, with what we are believing God for. We might be asking Him for to touch somebody. But go with a promise of Scripture. Lord, You said, it is written. That's how Jesus dealt with the devil. It is written. When we go to the Father in Jesus' name, we say, Father, it's written that You will boom, boom, boom. So therefore, I come to You on behalf of my brother, my sister, me. And we come in faith. We come in with that confidence. Lord, I'm confident that You are going to fulfill Your word. That's trust. That's our faith in God. Based on the Word of God. So I'm going to leave it there because my time has already run out, as it always does. And just take those words this morning. Don't cast off your confidence, which has great reward. Why? Because of what Jesus has done for us. We've been singing it today. You know, it's what the Lord has done. Thanking him for what he's done. The sacrifice that he made. Gave his life so that we could live our life in him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.